Well, now a question. Are professors too old? That sounds like age discrimination, doesn't it? A return to a time when colleges mandated that professors retire no later than age 70. In fact, schools were even granted an exemption from the 1986 Age Discrimination Act out of concern that tenured professors would never retire, that they wouldn't make way for younger candidates, women, people of color. But that exemption was eliminated after 1994, and now study after study shows the concern was warranted, at least in that professors are staying on. The number 65 and older more than doubled between 2000 and 2011. And according to our next guest, this is crippling universities. Artist Lori Frederick wept when she left New York's Hofstra University at 66, but she'd committed to retiring because she said it was her duty and the duty of other older professors. Her essay in the Chronicle of Higher Education is titled The Forever Professors. She joins us from the NPR studios in New York. And Lori, really, do you think professors staying on cripples universities?
Well, yes. I mean, not shutting them down, but it's harming universities. And I had 5 years to think about this because I signed my early retirement contract in 2009 that had me retiring in 2014. And it was an offer that was on the table for Hofstra University professors within a certain age bracket into which I fell. And I was curious to see that it really wasn't picked up by many. It was sad to me that some of the best people left and some of the people that my own instincts told me were not the best people did not take the offer.
There was a bit of a bonus attached to this promise that you would retire. And by the way, let's pick up, too, on how sad this made you.
Yeah, there's no question. I think it needs to be addressed that if you're a professor, you have a very needy part of you that is fulfilled in teaching. I mean, it's a wonderfully fulfilling career. You're around young people, an endless parade of young people. They stimulate ideas. They're exciting to be around. They keep you on your toes. You're the boss of your own classroom. And if you're a full professor with tenure, you really have a lot of power.
It used to be that by law, university professors had to retire at 70. There was age discrimination. So the law requiring retirement at age 70 was ditched. But you say the consequence is that now people are working far longer than they should.
You got it. In the university, it's clear that the numbers are there. There are two major studies that my essay was written based on. And one was the TIAA-CREF study done in 2011, and another was the Fidelity study done in 2013. And both have the numbers and have the wonks behind them to say that fully tenured professors with all the powers, meaning full professor with tenure, are staying on longer. And the worst part is we know from studies between ages 49 and 65, I think, they're intending to stay on and maybe not retire at all. They're not giving notice about a date when they'll retire. So they could go well into their 70s.
Take us through some of the problems you say this causes. First of all, higher cost because they have the higher salaries, having worked that long. But don't we get wiser with age? Don't they also bring wisdom to the job?
They do. And I don't want to shortchange that. The problem is a full department made up of old people or half a department of old people. I argue in my essay, and I believe this, that older professors are necessary. They bring a long and deep knowledge of the mission of a university and a department, and a lot of times are extremely effective in the classroom. So the issue really isn't so much that they lose all this. What the issue is that for the health of the whole, for the whole university, for the whole educational system, for the whole department, you need to have a balance. You need some young people coming in, some people at the height of their profession in their 50s and early 60s, and then a few wise, sage elders who are there also. But it kind of has to be something that's always in motion. And when you lock it in like this, of course, young people can't get into that process. They're blocked out.
You say it should be a rare privilege reserved for only the most productive and effective in the classroom. And you talk about the young people being locked out. You say what happens then is you're locking out people who may not just have a little more energy and freshness, but in this day and age may have more of a grasp of technology, of the different things you need to teach.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious in the sciences and in the technological fields that young people are on the cutting edge of all of that. So they're the ones who are going to know about stuff like little bits and things like that. But I think it's also true in the humanities. I mean, young people bring new interpretations to old texts, and old people, I am an old person, but people who have been around a long time are apt to have made their name on some argument or a couple of books or as studying, you know, some particular author or artist or what have you. And they're less apt to bring fresh ideas to this whole thing. And I do think young scholars are chomping at the bit to have their chance, and they are being left out. And you can see that with the increasing age at which people start on a full-time tenure-track job. I think the average age now is 34. And that's okay, except it's continuing to rise. And we also have this problem of this continuing adjunctification of higher ed, meaning the part-time faculty. They now compose something like 50% of the higher education faculty in the United States.
That was one of the main comments that came in the flood of comments that came in response to your article, that this is why we're seeing a turn to adjunct professors who are paid less. But you just, I mean, this prompted a storm of response. What are some of the things you heard?
Well, of course, I was accused of ageism. That's the first thing. And, you know, hurling epithets doesn't help this situation, because right now, the fact is that universities, neither in the departments nor in the faculty at large, in large Senate meetings, even broach this subject. It is a taboo subject.
And if you just joined us, we've been speaking with retired Hofstra University professor Lori Fendrick, who's been making the case that because tenured professors can't be fired, more should join her and retire. Because most are probably not as skilled as they once were, she says, but also they should make way for younger teachers who can't get on the tenure track until space is freed up. Her provocative essay in the Chronicle of Higher Education is titled Forever Professors. It comes after a complete flip in thinking in higher education. At one time, colleges required mandatory retirement by the age of 70. The Age Discrimination and Employment Act ultimately reversed that in 1994. Now, studies show the average age of a professor is 55 and rising. And when Lori retired, she says half her department was over 70. And she says late or no retirement contributes to higher college costs, a less vibrant campus, and the adjunctification of education, teachers ending up with dead-end part-time adjunct positions because they can't get on the crowded tenure track. Lori, this is not a new debate, but when your article came out, the comment page lit up. So let's be clear. You think there are many professors who are still qualified to teach as they age, and you also sympathize with why they wouldn't want to quit.
I don't know a lot of other jobs that pay that well, give you that nice health insurance, give you this absolute freedom, unless you just do something really horrific, where you can't be fired. And so you live up to it or you don't. But to be fair, I think a good number of people live up to that, because there is no accountability if you have tenure.
Yes, you do say that many professors live up to it, and there should be older professors in a mix of different age groups. But to your second point, that professors should consider retiring, even if they're competent, for the betterment of the school, you give reasons like schools can't plan. You say they don't know what the budgets are going to be, and they can't even broach the subject of retirement because they might get sued?
That's right. If you're chair of a department and you have a feckless, you know, person, incompetent person in the classroom, who's, let's just say, 78, and you say, Sue, have you considered, given any thought to retirement? That person can run to the EEOC, and the next thing you know, they're slapped with a lawsuit. It's a difficult problem, because you've got, in the private sector, you also have the Age Discrimination and Employment Act at work. But the difference is that if your performance declines, they have measurements going on, and they can say, you know, Sue, we can't keep you on anymore because your performance, and they have some objective criteria. In the university system, a full-time person who's in the 70s, that person has tenure and is a powerhouse. They're a full professor. There's nothing you can do. You can't say these things. There's no objective assessment going on anymore once the person gets tenure. They are not called to account for anything. Now, you could start a whole discussion about tenure. I tried to stay focused on the problem of retirement. I don't think, and I want to stress this, it's the only thing causing the adjunctification of higher education. There are a lot of forces causing that. But it certainly helps it or feeds it because, as one provost told me, and he has to remain anonymous, an average tenure line used to cost $2 million when you knew the professor would retire at 70. You now have to allocate $3 million for that line because you have to figure, what if that professor teaches until he or she is 75, 77, 80? This is going to cost the university a lot more in salary, benefits, and medical care costs.
But what about the thinking that 75 is the new 65 and that not every professor makes that $3 million? And so to ask them to retire at 65 means that they might have 30 years without income.
Well, first of all, if you're a professor and you haven't planned for your retirement, you had no business being a professor. That's the first answer I give. Yeah. The second thing is, I think that's a focus on the individual and self-fulfillment and satisfaction without any regard for the good of the whole. I'm very ancient Greek about this. I mean, I think the community has to be looked at. And I do think there's a problem right now because just as in American society as a whole, it's each man out for himself with no consideration for other people and no sense of the community and the whole. I think that's happening in higher ed. Professors are just saying, well, I feel good. This is fun. I love what I do. And, you know, you got to realize that some of the things that professors do are not objectively measured. It can be the quality of what they're doing. So say they're on a committee and they don't go to the meetings. What exactly is going to happen to them? Nothing. Now, fortunately, a good number of professors have a lot of honor and love what they do and are very good at it in a sense of responsibility, and they don't slough off their duties and responsibilities. But this is an easy and tempting thing to do as one gets older. I don't buy that someone 75, except the rare person, I don't buy that's the new 50. A person feels older. A person is creakier. A person isn't the same as they are when they're 55. It's not true. Oh. It's just a magazine slogan.
Well, and you got to see firsthand because, as you say, half your department was over 70, and so you saw what you thought were the effects. Meanwhile, so you have taken yourself out of off the track and retired. And it was hard for you. You felt it. It wasn't as if you were running out the door saying, I'm free. But do you feel free now? Because others have told you that this is the other thing that's getting missed by professors who are working longer. It's actually sounds like it's challenged you to do other things that you wanted to do.
Well, I think it's a combination. I do feel free. And I've been able to accept things, to do things that I never would have been able to accept. So actually, ironically, I'm teaching again next fall at the San Francisco Art Institute. And I never could have done that unless I had arranged for a leave and this and that, that matched the offer and the time of that offer. So that is, you know, an opportunity that came my way. So I never said in my essay, I'm never going to teach again. In fact, I said, maybe I'll teach again. Mm. But I took myself out of holding on to a slot that belonged to a younger faculty member. And in fact, when I signed my early retirement contract, I lobbied our president at Hofstra University and our provost every year during their open office hours for replacing my position. I lobbied hard. I lobbied relentlessly, and they replaced me. I think that in healthy institutions, provosts and presidents listen when there's a requirement. I had a position that could have been easily gotten rid of, and nobody would have even maybe a little squeak, you know. But they hired a young person to replace me who's 42 years old. That's appropriate.
That's Professor Lori Fendrick. She taught art at Hofstra University in New York for 22 years. Her article in the Chronicle of Higher Education is entitled The Forever Professors, and she says more of them should follow her lead. Professor Lori, thank you. I'm sure we're going to spark reaction here as well. Thank you.
You're welcome.